my favorite thing was finishing the game at the end. We've been in those situations this year, and I feel like we haven't executed to our standard. And for us to go out there and finish that game with those big runs, especially that last one, I mean, it shows the attitude and effort that you'll need in order to win football games.
Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs are moving on to the AFC title game, where they will host Tom Brady and the Patriots next Sunday night. 31-13, I put this out on social media after the game. After watching the way the Chiefs handle the Colts, how do people feel about the Texans? Do they feel better, worse, or the same? A lot of votes, 54% said worse, 36% said the same. I feel the exact same way. I don't feel that great, but my opinion has not changed in either direction. I don't actually feel any worse.
Is that because you already felt so bad and you don't think you could feel much worse? Because I don't think that's fair, if that's what you're telling me. The only way you could feel, like, really, really bad is if, like, that bad to where your opinion couldn't get any worse is if you were watching the Browns from a couple years ago or something. I choose to be offended by your not feeling worse about the Texans.
I underestimated Indianapolis in the cold, uh-huh. And the Texans are not going to play the Colts in the cold, and I think that had a significant factor in the game on Saturday.
I don't think the Colts struggled with the venue, even though I'll agree. I'm the first one that said that the cold affected them, and I thought very early and immediately on, but I don't think that shouldn't have accounted for just a complete and total drubbing like that. I thought Philip Rivers didn't adjust to his settings very well. Philip Rivers looked like a rookie quarterback.
I mean, the Patriots just threw a great defensive game plan out against them. And, I mean, that's one of the – there are many things that we're going to talk about later on that the Texans have to be looking at from this weekend and be able to apply it to themselves. But, I mean, that, to me, was the most impressive thing in that game, was really the way that New England just threw looks at Los Angeles. That Los Angeles had just seen, but the personnel for New England over the course of the season has gotten good enough where they can actually play in that kind of – that kind of style.
I think the Texans actually, I don't want to get too far off away from the Colts, I guess. I think the Texans actually just do a lot of that same stuff, but don't do it nearly as well. Like, they try to confuse people the line of scrimmage too, but they become too predictable in it. As far as the Colts, though, look, the Colts offensive line, was one of the big excuses that we used for the Texans last week. I don't want to say excuse. It was one of the reasons the Texans couldn't get anything done. But then when the Colts offensive line is just letting Andrew Luck get pressure, like, that pocket looks completely different. The Kansas City Chiefs, on paper, not as good a defense as the Texans, look like a hell of a much better defense at home, just like the Texans were at home. They had the crowd noise, they had the advantage, all of that. One of our listeners, Josh on the text line, says that it's because of the center not being able to bob his head as aggressively as he did versus the Texans. That's not a big deal at all. That's not an excuse for why there was a pass rush yesterday and not versus the Texans. That's wrong.
That's the thing that annoyed me the most, is when you look at Chiefs Colts as compared to what happened the previous Saturday. I'm watching that game, and Justin Houston's making big plays, big sacks on, like, 3rd and 14, where I think Indy was going to try to go for it. Chris Jones tipping balls all over the place. D4 with that strip sack after that horrible Sammy Watkins fumble that nearly got Indy back in that ball game. Like, those kind of plays are being made by those guys. Watt and Clowney were basically missing in action when you cross compare games against Indianapolis. That's what I can't figure out. Like, how those guys are making all these plays against Indy's offensive line, and yet the Texans were not able to do it. That's what I can't figure out.
I mean, Chris Jones had an all-pro caliber season.
He was tremendous.
He was awesome this season. I don't think we should be that surprised that he was able to do that. It is, though, you're right. Like, why couldn't J.J. Watt do these things? Why couldn't Jadeveon Clowney do these things?
Yes.
I don't want to do it at the expense of those Chiefs players. Justin Houston, I mean, we remember Justin Houston as being one of the better defenders in the league. He just hasn't been that guy for a couple of seasons. They were really impressive in this game, but I think a lot of it has to do with, too, just the way that the Colts came out. They just, I don't know what it was, but they just weren't ready, period. I mean,
maybe we chalk it up to that, I guess.
Frank Reich is so much better than Bill O'Brien. Oh, I mean, the Colts, that offensive line, it's going to power them for the future. I mean, it's not all that.
Versus that Chiefs defense, too. Now, but see, I disagree. I think they are. I think they're a good offensive line. I think they, like, that was not their day. That was
Worst run defense in the league.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, exactly. But I mean, but it was also one game. Like, I think that Colts offensive line, there is something there. It's not like all of a sudden it's a trash offensive line because they had a bad game in Kansas City.
I just think that to look at the offensive line and act like having the best offensive line in the NFL means that you're going to be the destroyer of worlds going forward. I mean, we've seen it with the Titans. We've seen it with the Cowboys where they've been good for a bit, but they haven't been consistently good over the last couple of seasons. So that's one of those things. Like, you can't, the Colts can't just turn to their offensive line and say, oh, well, we got these guys for every single game.
The Cowboys are a really good example because 3 years ago, that was 2 years ago, that was the book on the Cowboys. Like, wow, look at that offensive line, and they're awesome, and they'll be awesome for the next decade because offensive lines age well, right? And no, it doesn't always work out that way.
I mean, now Xavier Suafield is playing for them.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Well, sometimes. Except he got injured. You had to put in Xavier Suafield's replacement who had been benched already. No disrespect, Connor Cook.
Do people feel better, worse, or the same about the Texans after what the Chiefs did to the Colts on Saturday?
Am I really one of the 6% that is feeling better?
Yeah, well it's 10%. So 10%? It's more than you think. You are, yes. You were one of the 10% that feels better about it.
I came out of it just strutting down the street, whistling, and I loved seeing Indianapolis get smacked around. I did too. I mean, we should be feeling good about that. They got their asses kicked. Yes, the Texans sucked. They were awful in that playoff game, and the Colts are a step ahead of them. But they're not leaps and bounds ahead of the Texans. They're not.
I guess I can't argue. Maybe it's that, you know, Landry pointed out, maybe it's that Frank Reich, for whatever reason, owns Bill O'Brien right now. And maybe that is a big part of the difference. I also think it's just a bad matchup right now.
Somebody points out, too, the most annoying thing to me was how the Colts were jumping offsides just like the Texans did last week.
That's right.
I was trying to, like, I watched every single part of this game and compared it to how it made me feel about the Texans in last week's game. That was the part I couldn't quite figure out even the relevance, other than that, like, wow, the Colts look like the team that doesn't have any composure all of a sudden. They're the ones that are falling apart in the playoffs, because that's what the Texans looked like with their multiple offsides last
week. They did not look ready. Let's go to JP on Mad Radio. JP, good morning. Go ahead.
Hey guys, probably part of the 10% over here. You know, I definitely don't feel worse after the Colts loss. You know, I just feel like the mantra of any given Sunday, an NFL team can be, you know, great or also lose. I feel like the Texans, when they played the Colts, they just didn't bring their A game. And you know, when you play a game like that in a big moment, especially a lot of young players, you know, when you don't bring your A game and you lose, then you can be mad, and mad as hell, certainly. You can be mad, but you don't necessarily, I didn't feel deflated about the team overall. And then in knowing, had they come in and played their A game and lost the way they did, that would be different. I feel like the Colts probably did the same thing. I feel when they played the Chiefs, they just didn't bring their A game. And so I think overall, the Texans have a lot of maturing to do and a lot of growth to do, but I think they're a team that has a good base. You know, they can certainly still build off of what they've got.
JP, thank you. We appreciate it. I think it's a fair perspective. One other thing that frustrates me is a lot of what we said last week about this game, about the wild card game, was, okay, well, listen, the Texans just don't have the personnel in the secondary to hang with the Colts. And I don't think they do. But then I look at Kansas City, and it's like Kendall Fuller and Steven Nelson, they're playing without Eric Berry. And how many people can name the players in the Chiefs secondary? And yet it seemed like they were locking up Indianapolis the whole game.
Yeah.
But T.Y. Hilton did not look like T.Y. Hilton.
No,
no. See, that of all the things to be pissed off about, T.Y. Hilton against you was functional. T.Y. Hilton against the Chiefs was not functional.
Well, and I do wonder, too, just how much that had to do with Andrew Luck's arm. And the fact that he was fluttering things up there, like it just did not look the same. So like Andrew Luck, whether his arm was injured or whether he just isn't, I have a hard time thinking that Andrew Luck's arm simply isn't that good in the cold. I guess I'd have to go back and look at the splits. His record away from Indianapolis is not nearly the same as it is at home, like to a great degree. Maybe it's that. I guess nobody wants to think of Andrew Luck as a guy that's just like a warm weather guy, but he's a warm weather guy. He played at Stanford. He played in Houston. He's played inside a dome. And is it as simple as that? Is he a bad cold weather quarterback?
Well, now, I mean, we have the answer to solving that problem at NRG Stadium. There is a thing at the top of NRG Stadium, which is sometimes open. It is called the roof.
Are you sure?
It is retractable. People forget about this. Here's what happens. Next time you play the Colts, if it's a late game in the season, you open that sucker up. Get it cold inside.
When is it going to be whipping winds and 20 degrees inside of NRG Stadium?
I mean, it was pretty cold this morning. I woke up in my apartment.
like this.
five in my apartment.
This kind of morning, open up the roof.
If this isn't like cold weather that makes Andrew Luck a lesser quarterback weather.
Okay. It's not quite Kansas City on Saturday.
It is 50 degrees.
I thought it was 44 this morning. I checked my phone. I woke up and thought it was 44.
Fine. At game time, it'll be, what, 55 or something. That's ideal playing.
That's a little
playing.
Nippy.
Those are ideal playing conditions.
You might need to wear sleeves. Think about putting the Vaseline on.
Let's go to Dave on Sports Radio 610. Dave feels worse about the Texans. Dave, explain why.
Well, gentlemen, first off, it's Kansas City Day. We spoke about 2 years ago and aired my grievances about the Texans. But today I would feel worse if I were a Texans fan because I don't think the gap is as big as it's being made out to be with the players. I think the gap is larger, looking at the coaching and play calling. We watched all four games this weekend, and the difference between coaching and play calling and what you saw in these four games and what you see when the Texans play is enormous. Bill O'Brien is locked in on running on first down, running on third and 12, short passes that, you know, it's third and 12 and you throw a 2 yard out. Play calling is horrible for the Texans, and it has been for a while, not just with Bill. I think the players are closer than we think they are as far as the skill set that is on the team. It's just the coaching and play calling that's the biggest difference between what's moving on and what's left behind. Just my thoughts.
There's Kansas City Dave weighing in.
Look, I'm not in the business anytime in the next several weeks of like overly defending Bill O'Brien. The one thing I would say is that the play calling goes hand in hand with the personnel on the field. And it's always funny to me when I watch like the Chiefs play and watch some of these screens go for game-breaking plays. And then hear somebody criticize another team for calling screen plays.
Or the Rams with
right,
their screens.
The Rams especially. The Rams. Like, so the screen is a great play call when you've got brilliant electric athletes performing it versus it's not when you don't have those guys. There's that. The other thing that hamstrings the Texans is simply that the offensive line needs so much help that they use the tight ends, they use the running backs, and a lot of times you've only got three guys out on route. Like, Deshaun Watson didn't say it until the end of the year. And I think a lot of people thought that he was only talking about that game. There are so many times where they just don't have that many guys out on routes because they need to protect the quarterback, and the offensive line and the tight ends are incapable of doing it. So that's part of the problem. But I'll agree with you. Like, what am I going to sit here and say that Andy Reid's not a much better play caller than Bill O'Brien? It's been proven year after year.
Yes. Andy Reid, definitely. Belichick, definitely. But I'm going to look back at Frank Reich again. I mean, you couldn't scheme up a better game plan against one of the worst defenses in the league. I'm sorry. That's a bad job by you. Could Kansas City maybe be hot at the right time and maybe this carries them through Super Bowl? I suppose. Jason Garrett and specifically Rod Marinelli. How the hell is Thick J. Anderson running for 800,000 yards on you, along with Todd Gurley, when you had the best front seven, supposedly, in the league? Doug Peterson, what the hell are you doing allowing your team to run a play right before the two-minute warning? I don't know what happens if they run that play on the other side of the two-minute warning, but I think that there might have been a little bit of, I don't know, confusion leading into that play where Alshon Jeffrey has to drop and he gets picked off.
Look, I will tell you, unrelated to Chiefs-Colts, the Cowboys defense, not just because it's the Cowboys, but because it's the personnel, them playing as poorly as they did against the Rams actually made me feel better about the Texans in a weird way.
You know,
because their defense is so good, and they weren't good on Saturday.
I felt good that Van Der Esch wasn't playing in, like, Sean Lee was taking over for Van Der Esch in that game, because what you never see on TV, despite all of Van Der Esch's production, is how many times rookies mess up. And people would wonder, like, why is Sean Lee playing? Well, when they showed Chris Richard there bitching out Van Der Esch on the sideline, like, that's why. Because rookies, you never see the guy that's a lot of times to blame for a bad defensive play isn't even in the screen when the play happens, so nobody viewing at home knows that it was Van Der Esch's fault. I support you, Sean Lee.